The Forces. Forces Station.
Forces Station. The BFBS Music Special. With Charlene Garth.
Welcome to our Jack Savaretti special here on BFBS. We started with the first track from Written in Scars, Back to Me. Jack, it is an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we've got an amazing hour to come. You're going to be performing some acoustic music. You've got your guitar with you.
I do. Actually, I should grab my guitar.
Has your guitar got a name?
My guitar doesn't have a name. But I've just been told about the B.B. King's guitar, Lucille. He called all of his guitars Lucille, and apparently it's because one of his first gigs he ever played, he was playing in this sort of music hall, school hall, and there was a pit in the middle of the hall that was with a fire in it, just to keep people warm, and because there was no heating. And this was in the, I think, late 30s, early 40s, and two guys got in a fight, and the guys got in such a fight that they knocked over this can, and the whole place went up in flames, and everybody ran out, and B.B. King realized he had forgotten his guitar inside, so he ran in, saved his guitar and came out, and that guitar was called Lucille, and he called every single guitar after that Lucille to remind him never to be so stupid to run into a burning building to try and save his guitar, not to do stupid things. I just heard that the other day. I thought that was a cool story.
You must keep your guitar like a prized possession, though.
This actually is not her, but my other guitar. This is a spare. My other guitar has been with me for sort of 7 years, and she's got holes and blood, literally, of my own and of friends of mine. So I'm always very scared to take her out now on the road. I like to keep her at home because I would hate to lose it. And we have had stuff stolen. I got a guitar stolen in Italy a couple months ago. Luckily, it was a brand new guitar, which some people thought that would make me more upset, but brand new guitar is a brand new guitar. I didn't know her yet, put it that way, so I wasn't that upset about losing it.
And so how long have you been playing the guitar?
I started when I was 15, 16. I mean, as a kid, I wasn't into music at all. I liked it. Yeah, it was fun. Music was something that was at parties, and that's kind of how I saw it. Although I grew up, both my parents were very, very, very into their music. You know, my mom was a big Motown girl, and my dad loved his Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, and a lot of Italian musicians, because my dad's Italian. So I always had it, you know, every time we were on a road trip or in the house, there would always be music, but I kind of took it for granted because it was just always there. I wanted to be a football player till I was about 15, and I took it really serious and kind of really, that's what I wanted to do. And then my dad, when I was 15, made me a cassette for my birthday, and one of the first songs on it was Bob Dylan's Forever Young. And it just kind of blew my mind. And then on there was Joan Baez, there was Simon and Garfunkel, Kris Kristofferson, Johnny Cash, and there was all James Taylor as well. And there were all these songwriters. And I had never realized the importance of a song. I always thought music was music, mainly because I kind of grew up on getting Now compilations for Christmas. And nothing against Now compilations, but, you know, it is what it is. It's the sort of fast food of music, which is great. So when I discovered all these songwriters, I got sucked in, and I really thought to myself, I want to do this. I was really bad at school. I wasn't a very academic person. But I remember when poetry came about in the sort of annual thing, I could do it. It was one of the few things, not so much could I do it, but I wanted to do it. I never did homework. I managed to go through my entire high school career without doing a single second of homework, just blagging it to my best. But when we got assigned to do poetry, I did it. I remember actually being excited about going home and writing something. So I think it was kind of those combinations of things that made me end up doing what I do today.
Okay, well, your current single that we've been playing a lot on BFBS is The Other Side of Love.
Yeah.
Shall we do that one now? And then we'll talk more about your roots
and
influences.
Cool, let's do it.
Jack Savaretti in a BFBS music special.
Music special.
This is the Forces Station. BFBS.
The girl alone in her head, the tears after what he said, and the fear alone in the dark, and the pain, oh, the pain she carries in her heart. When all you ever wanted is the freedom that you lack, if you find a way to get out, keep on running, don't look back. The other side of love, the other side of love, yeah. The boy with so much to give, and the lies he's forced to live, the son, the father and his ghost, faith, oh, the faith hurts him the most, hurts him the most. When all you ever wanted is the freedom that you lack, if you find a way to get out, keep on running, don't look back. The other side of love, 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 yeah. Somewhere hiding in the shadows, There's something everybody knows, everybody knows. When all you ever wanted is the freedom that you lack. If you find a way to get out, keep on running, don't look back. The other side of love, the other side of love, yeah, the other side of love, the other side of love. Oh, we are angels, we are demons, we are children of the same. We are angels, we are demons, we are children of the sun. Oh, we are angels, we are demons, we are children of the sun. We are angels, we are demons, we are children of the sun.
Amazing. That was The Other Side of Love. Thank you. Oh, it is amazing because your album is so good, and to hear it, you know, in the flesh almost is special. So we've got more of those to come. But I want to find out more about the music that influenced you. You mentioned your mum and your dad, you know, they played quite a lot of music. What are your early memories of that?
You know, funnily enough, it's kind of going to school. I remember the first real impact of music, and I think for most people, kind of happens in the car. It's either when you're going on a trip with your family, or in my case, was that as well. Because we used to do a lot of road trips to Italy, but it was mainly going to school. And my mom had really good taste in music, which when we were kids, we were like, oh, change it, you know, put on something, I don't know, put on something else. But, you know, looking back, it really affected me. And it affected my sister. It's funny because we can be out somewhere and a certain type of song will come on and we'll both look at each other because we'll know this is something my mom is listening to or loves or something like that. And this next song is a perfect example of that. I was lucky that both my parents had really different styles of music. My dad was more country and Italian music, like I said before. My mom had soul. She's got soul. And she likes a good groove and a good beat. And I listen to predominantly male singers, but my mom doesn't. And she always introduces me to sort of female vocalists or singers that, strong women. I think that's something, you know, yeah, we say that too much these days. We use that phrase like genius a bit over the top. But this was actually in a time where it was really tough for women to come out and say what a lot of these women were saying. Not that it is easy now, but it was a lot tougher, let's just put it that way. And so songs like this really blow my mind.
So we're going to do Ann Peebles, I Can't Stand the Rain. Where did you hear this? Where were you growing up? What was happening?
I was born in London. I was living in Fulham. And I used to go to school about a 20-minute drive from where I lived. And we had this little Fiat, this red Fiat, I remember, that my dad got my mom. And it would never start on a cold English morning in the winter. And all of our neighbors would have to come out and push it. And this was a proper thing. I mean, two of my neighbors were on the school run with us. So we were all kind of, it was the era of school runs before everybody went alone in a car. And I remember just being pushed by the neighbors and everybody. And it was such a hoo-ha every morning. And then when we'd get going, even though there was this kind of dorky fanfare to begin with, suddenly my mom's car would turn into the coolest place on earth. And it was usually because of this song here. And I always remember there's this amazing organ sound lick in it. And funnily enough, Missy Elliott actually sampled this in the sort of mid-90s, late-90s. And I remember when it came on, it was in all the clubs when we were sort of teenagers and all that, and in the bars. And I remember every time it would come on, it would just make me sort of grin, because I would remember these cold, frosty mornings in England pushing this red Fiat for my mom, and then that little rubbish car turning into the coolest place on earth. Yeah.
Let's get back there. Let's get back to pushing the Fiat right now.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I can't stand the rain against my window. bringing back sweet memories. Yeah, when the rain, do you remember how sweet it used to be?
So were you back there, cold, frosty London, pushing the Fiat?
I was there, and it's kind of funny because I just realised now is I can't stand the rain, and like that, I mean, although that's the predominant lyric, it really was fitting to winters in London. Growing up, I can't stand the rain. I think my mom was basically just saying, "Get me out of here," and that's why she was putting that song on all the time.
Now, for you, Jack, you've been all around the world performing your music. And have you been to any like Forces locations? Can you recognise Forces in the crowds and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, we've had an amazing response in the UK, predominantly thanks to you guys. So I'm very grateful to that, but also because I think Sons of Anarchy is a very popular show amongst the Forces. and thanks to that, I've always had an obsession with certain aspects of the military, of the army, especially the Second World War, to be honest. I'm kind of the result of the Second World War. My grandmother was German, my grandfather was Polish Jew, and they escaped Germany and came to England. That's how my mother was born here. My Italian side of the family, my grandfather was the head of the partisans in Genoa, in the Liguria region, and he was the one who took the sort of militarized partisans, turned them to politics, and signed the liberation. And actually, Genoa is the only city in Italy that liberated itself before the Allies arrived, even though the Allies were literally 4 days away. They just signed the documents 4 days before. So it was just a nice little fact that they happened to, they're very proud of that fact that they liberated essentially themselves, but worked very closely with the British Army. My grandfather, he was a man done good, put it that way. So I've always been obsessed with the Second World War, especially the European aspect of the Second World War. I went to the 70th anniversary of Normandy D-Day, and I've always had this kind of attachment. So whenever I do meet anybody from the Forces, I get a little bit carried away. I turn into a bit of a dork and I start asking all these questions, sometimes questions I probably shouldn't ask. But yeah, I've always been fascinated with it. And with my first two albums, I wrote a lot of songs about this. I wrote a song called Soldier's Eyes, which was actually on Sons of Anarchy, which I think seems to have been a lot of the reason why when we do come across soldiers in the audience, this is usually what brings them there. I also wrote a song called Russian Roulette, which was about the sort of the post-traumatic experience, the struggle of coming back from war, and why was I able to come back and others not. And that song was about that. So I don't know where it comes from. I genuinely don't know where it comes from. It maybe comes from the fact that my grandparents were so involved. But I think it's also just, I don't know, it's a respect aspect, it's a fascination aspect. And I guess it's also upbringing. You know, we were talking about various movies before. I've always grown up watching war movies and being fascinated not so much by the violent side of things, but by the human aspect of it and by the decision to go into it, to be a part of it. I also am fascinated by the political side of war and what causes it and what comes out of it. You can't, it's funny, I went to a peace conference last year. I was asked to play at a peace conference in Geneva for the UN, and it was all very pro-peace. And what somebody very rightly said, you know, without war, you can't have peace. Peace doesn't exist without war. It's a bit like without good, you can't have evil.
And your song Home, for me, kind of sums up what it's like to be away from your friends and family when you are overseas serving and that longing to be home. And as a musician, you find yourself away a lot of the time and you've probably still got that connection, what the forces go through when they're apart.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's insane what the forces go through. Me and my wife actually always talk about it, you know, when I always say to her, you know, think about that. You know, I'm away for 3 weeks, 4 weeks at the most. There's guys that are away for 6 months. Not only are they away for 6 months, they're away for 6 months where people are trying to kill them, literally. So it's a bit of a different setting. And I always try to tell it to keep perspective on that. But this song is exactly about that. It's exactly about the struggle of, to me, home is not necessarily a place. It's a feeling. And usually that feeling is associated with love. And that's when you really feel at home. And that is because of people, or it could be because of a dog as well, but essentially most of the time it's because of people. And so to me, home is being with certain people, and I think that's the struggle, is that it's not necessarily that you want to go back somewhere, you just want to go back to being with certain people. And I think that's the hardest part when you're away, and when you have that urge to homesickness, you know, it's heartbreaking. It can be heartbreaking, and waiting for that. The waiting is the hardest part.
Okay, so should we do Home?
Let's do it.
It's my favourite song off the album.
Oh, cheers, thanks very much.
Let's do it.
Thanks. Hi, this is Jack Savaretti, and this is my song, Home.
Out of sight, out of mind, in the darkness there's no light. There you go, and now I know what it means to stay and fight. I won't give up, I won't give in, I'll give it everything. This feeling is real, and I wait for my love to come home, home, home. Come home, 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 home. I wait for my love to come home, home, home. Come home, 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 home. Help me stand, help me rise, I can't bear the changing tide. This is the road I chose to take, no regrets and no mistakes. They say patience is a virtue, but I can't get through. This feeling is real. I only know that now I wait for my love to come home, home, home. Come home, 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 home. I wait for my love to come home, home, home. Come home, 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 home. My, this feeling is real. I only know that now I wait for my love to come home, to come home, yeah. And I wait, oh, for my love to come home.
Wow. Just wow. There's nothing I can say. That was amazing.
Thank you very much.
You really feel it, don't you? Every time you sing, you feel those emotions. You kind of, I can see it in your face, you get transformed back to a place.
Yeah, I think music has that power in everybody. I don't think that's a personal thing. I think, you know, it's a bit like even if you dance. you can be doing something incredibly serious, dull, depressing, and then suddenly Billie Jean will come on and you can't help but pop your shoulder. So music has a way of transporting you to somewhere where you are not in the present. And every time you sing a song, you go straight back there.
And you have had a struggle, haven't you? I mean, there was a point a few years ago where this wasn't ever going to happen. You were going to quit it all to become and have a normal job. I don't know what a normal job is, but, you know,
yeah, no,
what
me,
would
I
normal Jack Savarati be doing? Where would you work?
I don't know. I don't know. Nowhere, really, which is why I kept at it. And I don't know how to do anything else. I don't know. I've had a struggle is a big word. It got tough. You know, this is a tough job. It's a tough job because I care for it. Any job that you love to do is a tough job because it's a double-edged sword. You know, one aspect of it is I never work a day in my life because I love what I do. And the other aspect is I have to work every day so that I can keep doing it. So it's different. What I actually do isn't my job. Keeping myself doing it is the hard part. And it got to a point where it was very difficult for me to do. It got very complicated. All the old musical cliches happened. And yeah, I lost a lot of things, and I lost a lot of hope in the whole industry. And I thought I was falling out of love with music, but I realized I was just falling out of love with the industry. So I realized if I want to keep doing this, I'm going to have to do it on my own terms and build my own team. And, you know, it's a crazy ocean. I always use this metaphor that it's a really rough ocean, this industry. And if you're going to do it, you either got to get on one of the big boats, which I wasn't being asked on, or you got to make sure that on whatever ship you're on, that the crew on there really wants to be there. Nobody's on it just for a paycheck. You know, it gets dark, it gets rough, it gets dirty, and it's time you need people to really love what they're doing and to want to be a part of it. And I'm lucky enough that now everybody on board seems to really want to be there.
So we're going to do Buffalo Springfield.
Yeah.
How were you inspired by that?
People either love it or hate it. I love it. This is a movie that genuinely affected me. It was Forrest Gump. Again, because of... Other than my Second World War junkie thing, I also had, you know, they always joke about it, the war with the best soundtrack. It was Vietnam, for sure. And this movie definitely affected me because I didn't know about the Vietnam War or really much about the American movement in the 60s, the political movement of many types, from the hippies to the Panthers, and even the veterans and all the various different types of what was happening in America in the 60s. I really wasn't aware of this when I was 14 years old. And when this movie came out, I had just kind of started getting into this kind of music. I had just sort of, for the first time I was hearing it, my dad gave me that cassette. And then this movie came out, and the soundtrack to this movie just blew my mind. Every song was, it was a real education for our generation of kids. You know, music used to have a real meaning. It was really sung by kids, but it was sung by kids who had they had something to say. Whether they were pro or con or whatever their position was, it was music there was music for a reason. It wasn't just music about showing off about how great your life is. It was music that had social core to it. I always remember this scene. There was an amazing, throughout the section where he's going to the Vietnam War. I mean, there was the Jimi Hendrix song Along the Watchtower, right when they're sort of being attacked. And then Buffalo Springfield comes on as they're sort of walking through the jungle. And I remember just being blown away by it, and I loved it. Got me into that whole era of not just music, of politics, predominantly music, but also politics and more than anything American culture. Since that day I've kind of been obsessed with American culture from the 60s, and yeah, this song has a lot to do with it. I'm a huge Crosby, Stills and Nash fan, and Buffalo Springfield actually had Stephen Stills and Neil Young were in this before they did Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. So, I mean, it was just such a cool band. And there's nothing happening in this song if you listen to it. There's not much instruments. It's pretty laid back. And yet it's just one of the coolest songs you'll ever hear.
We're going to have a Forrest Gump flashback right now. I've got images.
Or a Vietnam flashback. Yeah. Depending. You weren't there, man. You weren't there.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Being wrong, nobody's right,
if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Songs and a carry inside. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Springfield, for what it's worth, from Forrest Gump, we were just chatting there.
Yeah.
It's an amazing film, one of my favourites as well. Did you cry at the end when the little feather drops?
I don't know
down?
If I, you know, I cry at almost every Spielberg movie there is, from E.T., Schindler's List, forget about it. I think I cried throughout the whole movie during that one. You know, Saving Private Ryan. But I don't think I cried at the end of Forrest Gump. I think I was just sort of educated. I felt like I'd been educated. You know, it was a wonderful way of talking about different events in history that have happened in a sort of childish, not non-preachy way, which some people accuse Spielberg of being sometimes a bit preachy. I don't agree with that, but and I think Forrest Gump is a perfect example. It's kind of like a American History for Dummies, and I'm a dummy, so I loved it. Yeah.
And it, you know, so much music, like you say.
So much music. I mean, it's such a great introduction to the American culture of that time. So I loved it.
Now we're going to play Elton John next. For me, he's my favorite.
He's
all-time singer, yeah. I can listen to him anytime, any place. And like you were saying, your memories of growing up, I've got images. I'm transported straight back into my car with my mom driving me around. We had it on cassette. So why Elton John?
Well, it's mainly this song, Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter's. And I moved back to London after having traveled around a lot as a teenager, and I moved back here just when I had turned 18. And London is a crazy city. And I grew up in a small village for quite a while in Switzerland, so I had a very different attitude. And I came back here and I met all these Mad Hatters and Mona Lisas that he sort of speaks of, and sons of lawyers and sons of bankers, which I love. And it's just, people hit it hard. It was suddenly I was thrown into this, excuse me, this rat race of, you know, a society that I didn't know how to move in. And I was blown away by it and really affected by it in a good way. In a very bad way, you know, it comes with all its temptations and all its sins. And so I've always just been fascinated with it. And I just love the way that in this song, he managed to capture it. Even though I think he's pretty much talking about New York City, it's still, I think it goes for any big city. When you move to a big city and you meet these Mona Lisas and Manhattans, I just love the way that that's how he refers to people. And he describes that sort of, that crazy society, that sort of Fitzgerald, Great Gatsby-esque society that you can sometimes come across in these crazy cities of people that just take it to the limit every night. And, you know, they only live at night. And this is one of those songs that he just captures a social scene. I love songs that capture a scene, a social moment. It's like a photo. It's like looking at a photograph. And I love songs that do that.
Should we do it? I feel like I need a G&T while we're doing it.
I know,
because it
kind
of captures that whole...
It totally captures that, absolutely. Well, let's get some G&Ts and listen to Elton John.
Do it!
Jack Savaretti in a BFBS music special.
1, 2, 3.
BFBS with Charlene Guy.
Now I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say. I thought I knew, but now I know that rose trees never grow. trash can dream come true. You stand at the edge while people run you through. And I thank the Lord there's people out there like you. I thank the Lord there's people out there like you. While Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters, sons of bankers, sons of lawyers, turn around and say good morning to the night. For unless they see the sky, but they can't. That is why they know not if it's dark outside or light. This Broadway's got, it's got a lot of songs to sing. If I knew the tunes, I might join in. I go my way. Subway's no way for a good man to go down. Rich man can ride, and the hobo, he can drown. And I thank the Lord for the people I have found. I thank the Lord for they can, and that is why. No, not if it's dark outside or light. Now I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say.
If you finished your gin, I'll pretend gin.
I'm on my third.
Oh, I'm on doubles.
I'm on my third pretend gin.
Have you got cucumber in it or lemon?
Cucumber.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Since once you discover cucumber, you never turn back.
You don't go back. It's true.
I know it's not as cool, but once you go there, you're like, okay, it's got to be cucumber every time. Doesn't feel very manly ordering it, but it, you know, you just have to let somebody taste it.
We've had our gin, so let's talk Bob Dylan, because let's there is Bob a single Dylan on the album, Nobody Except You, which you're going to perform acoustically very shortly, which is actually his. So how did that come about? Because Bob Dylan's obviously a huge influence influence on you, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, Bob Dylan's, I think, a huge influence on anybody who's ever tried to write a song. He is one of the masters. I mean, it's ridiculous. They study him now at in Columbia University. There's actually a course for Bob Dylan lyrics and poetry.
You can get a degree in it.
You can get a degree in it. I mean, it's poetry. It's not just pop songs. You know, it's proper poetry and copious amounts of it. He was incredibly prolific with his writing. And I was lucky that I made my second record about 7 years ago in Santa Monica, in California, in a studio that belongs to one of my heroes, a guy called Jackson Brown, who wrote a lot of the songs for the Eagles, Take It Easy, and all that. But he's an amazing writer and singer-songwriter of that time. And he had this room in the back with all these guitars that I don't think he even remember he owns. And there was this all these like boxes of stuff with Bob written on it. And I made a pretty embarrassing fool of myself when I said, "Who's Bob?" And he was like, well, and he explained to me that Dylan lived 10 minutes down the road and rehearsed there a lot. And anyway, there were all these old recordings of Dylan that he had. And this guy who I was working with at the time there, a guy called John Woollett, said, "You need to listen to some of these songs because some of them Dylan never released." So he played me this one called "Nobody Except You." And it was at a time in my life where I think I was having a little bit too much fun, and it was dangerous because I was about to lose a lot of things that I loved and a lot of people that I loved because I was just getting a bit carried away with the whole fanfare of life, of being young and stupid and naive and kind of just riding that wave a little bit too much. And this song really snapped me out of it. It kind of hit me like a cold bucket of water and slapped me in the face and said, you know, if you're gonna find people that you love, you're lucky, full stop. But you're an idiot if you let those people go, if you lose those people. So this song just made me realize, you know, you gotta fight for the ones you love. You gotta fight more than fight for them. You gotta fight to keep them in your life. And you gotta fight to realize how important people in your life are. You know, everything else is pretty fickle. Everything else is pretty comes and goes. But people are for a lifetime, you know. And so this song, it's kind of the reason I got married. You know, it kind of was the song that gave me the, I'm not going to say the words because I don't want to say rude words on radio, but it kind of gave me the guts, let's put it that way, to just sort of man up and face myself and realize what I really wanted to do rather than what I was just doing because it was easy. And so I'm very grateful to this song. And because of that, I sort of take it with me everywhere. And luckily enough, the people I work with said, if you want to take it with you everywhere, then you better put it on an album. So we did, and it's a very simple song. But Dylan is always known for being really vague, and this song, he's not vague at all. He goes straight for the jugular, and he really just lays it down how it is. It's a simple song, but I think it says it all.
And what does it mean to you, having grown up and been inspired by him, to then have one of his tracks on your album? How does that feel?
I mean, I try not to think about it, because at first people are like, are you nuts? Don't put a Dylan song on your album. Like, that's just setting yourself up for to be slaughtered. And I thought, you know what? I'm not sitting here singing "How Many Roads Must a Man Walk Down." It's a song that nobody's heard. It's a song that Dylan probably doesn't even remember he wrote. So I just thought, more than anything, aside from myself or aside from Bob Dylan, this song needs to be heard. It's a great song, and it has been written, and I don't know why he didn't put it out, but anybody could sing it and it would sound amazing. I'm just lucky that I was the first guy to think about doing it. But it's a phenomenal song, and the song does the talking. And I think when a song is this great, it deserves to be heard.
Should we do it?
Let's do it.
I want to hear it.
Okay, I want to play it. So this is Bob Dylan's song, "Nobody Except You." Nothing round here that I believe in except you, yeah, you. There's nothing here to me that's sacred except you, yeah, you. You're the one that reaches me, you're the one that I admire. Every time we meet together, my soul feels like it's on fire. And nothing matters to me, and there's nothing I desire except you, yeah, you. There's nothing round here I care to try for except you, yeah, you. Got nothing left to live or die for
except you. Yeah, you. There's a hymn I used to hear in the churches all the time. Made me feel so good inside, so peaceful, so sublime. And there's nothing to remind me of that old familiar chime except you. Yeah, you. I used to play in the cemeteries, dance, sing and roll when I was a child. It never seems strange, but now I just pass mournfully by the place where the bones of life are packed. I know something's changed. I'm a stranger, but no one sees me except you. Yeah, you. Nothing matters much or even pleases me except you. Yeah, you. No, nothing hypnotizes me or casts me in a spell. Everything runs right through me just like water from a well. Everybody wants my attention. Everybody's got something to sell except you. Yeah, you. Girl, I'm loving you.
Jack Savaretti in a BFBS music special. Music special.
This is the Forces Station. BFBS.
The guilty undertaker sighs. The lonesome organ grinder cries. Silver saxophones say I should refuse you. The cracked bells and washed out horns blow into my face with scorn. But it's not that way, I wasn't born to lose you. I want you. I want you. I want you so bad. Honey, I want you. The drunken politician leaps upon the street where mothers weep, and the saviors who are fast asleep, they wait for you. And I wait for them to interrupt me drinking from my broken cup and ask me to open up the gate for you. I want you. I want you. Yes, I want you so bad. They've gone down, true love, they've been without it. But all their daughters put me down, cause I don't think about it. Well, I return to the Queen of Spades and talk with my chambermaid. She knows that she's not afraid to look at her. She is good to me, and there's nothing she doesn't see. She knows where I'd like to be, but it doesn't matter. I want you. I want you. Yes, I want you so bad. Honey, I want you. Now your dancing child with his Chinese suit, he spoke to me, I took his flute. No, I wasn't that cute to him, was I? But I did it because you lied, and because he took you for a ride. Because time is on his side, and because I want you. I want you. Yes, I want you so bad. Honey, I want you.
Jack, it's almost time to go, which I'm really sad
almost
about.
Almost time to jet off.
I don't want want you to go. You're actually off to Berlin straight after this, aren't you?
Yeah, literally. And to the airport straight from here.
I love it, rock and roll.
Yeah, it's not as glamorous as it sounds, trust me.
But
it's fun, though.
I think anybody that has maybe checked you out or heard this for the first time and or maybe has heard a couple of singles but not really heard more from you and has done so this hour, I think the overriding sense of your voice, just when did you realise, oh, actually, I've got an amazing voice?
Thank you. I didn't realise it. Actually, I was told a lot to not sing. I was told a lot by people in the industry and others, you know, get other people to sing your songs from a very early stage. And it really fueled me to not let other people sing my songs, to sing them myself. So I just like singing. I enjoy it. And sometimes it's the last thing I want to do. But most of the time, it's the best therapy there is.
So where are we going to see? What's ahead for the next year for Jack Savarese?
Oh man, well we're going off to Germany now, and then Italy, and then we're coming back, and then we're going to be doing all the festivals. It's festival season in the UK and all around Europe, really. We're doing festivals.
You smell too good for a festival.
Thank you very much. I appreciate, didn't know where you were going with that.
You're going to be like the best smelling person there.
Well, I try. I do try.
Do you need to go in all the loos to freshen them up?
Yeah, I have to. Actually, you laugh, but my tour, I get made fun of because our tour bus is like walking onto a spa. Like, I've done the nitty gritty for too many years, and now we like to keep it, you know, healthy environments, a good environment is, you know, there's a tour bus can stink very quickly.
Do you have lots of lotions and potions? Are you a toiletry man?
I'm not a lotions and potions man, but we've definitely become a candle band.
Oh, I love it.
But like the good candles.
Posh
like,
candles. Posh the ones candles. That you don't want to light if there's a power
exactly.
failure.
Exactly.
You know, you've got to...
It's not worth it. I can't believe I'm on BFBS talking about candles.
Come on, I love candles. I love candles.
Yeah, but I don't think the guys listening do.
Or the girls. No, they do. Men love candles. Come on. We've got to educate military men.
Let's be
about
honest.
Candles.
We could have the best smelling military in the world.
I'm if sure you were in it, definitely smell better.
It's a show. Well, thank you for that. But it's a very, like, you know, lotion. I've seen a few. I know a few. I have a few army boyfriends, and they properly take care of themselves.
They do.
It's amazing.
In the Marines, it's called Essence. I think Essence would involve candles.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure, absolutely. But on the bus, I'm the sort of candle master.
I love it.
Yeah. I get made fun of. It's funny because I used to get made fun of from the band, but now they really complain. Like if they've become real divas, they're so used to walking onto a tour bus that smells like a sort of a spa, a Soho house kind of thing. So now they all sort of expect it to be like a 5-star hotel when they walk on the tour bus.
So when we see you over the summer in festivals,
come on the tour bus. It's
right,
amazing.
Come on, yeah, I'll think of the candles.
If you want to get away from the stench of a tour, just look for the Jack Savarese tour bus. Best smelling bus in Britain.
I'm there. Also, probably fire safety. I need to know where that bus is.
Yeah, we do have, we always get, the drivers always give us a real talking to about it. No, we're not like crazy hippies where there's candles everywhere. It's usually one or two, but one or two good enough candles.
Oh, yeah.
If they're good enough, you don't even need to light it.
Exactly, yeah. Just sniff the candle.
Just keep it in just keep it in the bus and it's all good.
Well, we're going to finish with the current single, which we're playing on BFBS. It's the title of the album as well, isn't it?
It is. Written in Scars. This is one of those songs. I mean, the actual title of the album was taken from this, but it has nothing to do with the song. It's a weird one. Written in Scars is basically... It was just my way of saying, you know, the stories about our life that really matter, not the things we talk about every day. You know, it's funny what people complain about these days, man. Like, I actually saw somebody complaining the other day about the buttons on a cash machine asking what language to choose. And they were saying, gosh, I don't have time for this. I don't have time to push one button when I have the miracle of money coming out of a wall. But so it was just funny. And so these were just more about the stories about stuff that happened to our lives that really do hurt. Really do leave scars, and I don't trust people that don't have scars. That's my way of assessing people very quickly. Not necessarily physical scars, but emotional scars or just something.
We all have scars.
I agree.
Yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure, Jack.
Thank you. For me too. Thanks for having me.
Have a safe trip to Berlin.
Cheers.
I'll get you a candle next time you're in.
Thank you very much. I'm Jack Savarese and I like candles.
Jack Savarese in a BFBS music special.
BFBS.
There's a riot on the streets tonight. There's a reason for the cold.
scars, yes, written in scars. Oh, yeah, oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 no, 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 no. We are the revolution. We want it all tonight. We want to take back what's rightfully ours. We are the revolution. We want to stand and fight the map of our life. Written in scars, yes. Written in scars. We are the revolution. We are the revolution.
On digital radio, FM and satellite TV in the UK.
Online and on air around the world.
This is the Forces Station.
The FBS.